Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Okay, let's bring out our Bibles quickly. And have a seat. Wherever you are listening online, make sure you are not distracted. Make sure you get a seat. Get your Bible, writing material, and let's learn God's word together. Hallelujah. Okay, so starting a new study, which might probably just last for 2 weeks or three. And this is titled Kerygma. Hallelujah. Kerygma. Kerygma occurs first at Matthew 12, for the one when Jesus is talking about how that the city of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. You find the same account at Luke 11. So kerygma is the word for preaching. Hallelujah. There are several other words translated preaching or preached in the New Testament. But I've chosen this one for a reason. So we're going to go through many words in the course of the study, but I've chosen this one as the title because kerygma deals more with the message, not the act of preaching. It's a noun. So it deals more with the message, the content. Hallelujah. Kerygma is the content, the message. That's exactly or especially how it is used in the letter of Paul, in the letters of Paul. It's the message. So kerygma is not the act of proclaiming. It is the thing proclaimed. The proclamation itself. Hallelujah. So Matthew 12:41, Luke 11:32, you find the same account. Jesus says, the city of Nineveh repented at the preaching, that is the content of Jonah's message. Glory to God. Now in the letter of Paul, or in the letters of Paul, kerygma is used strongly and only for the message. The content. So that's why I chose this as, you know, the title of a study. So we are going to learn how to also preach, which is the essence. We want to see how the message was presented. How did the apostles present the message of the gospel? Because there's a way it's meant to be presented. Hallelujah. If you go preach and you tell men that Jesus died and rose again, he died for their sins, he rose again for their justification, you are preaching the gospel. But was that the only things they said? Or were those the only things they said? There's a way, there's a pattern that is found in their letters. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 16. And you need to follow this carefully. And you see why that pattern is the pattern. It has to be that way. Romans 16:25. First occurrence in the letter of Paul. Romans 16:25. Bible says, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. The preaching there is the message. He's able to establish you according to the preaching, the message of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith. So, how did Paul present the kerygma? He says, it is made known by the prophetic scriptures. Hallelujah. That is, this message has its roots in the prophets. It is not something that came out of the blues. It is not something, you know, Jesus just came upon the scene, he began to perform miracles. No. It has its roots in the prophecies, in the prophets. There were things that were said. And so this kerygma is made known by the preaching of the gospel, which is from the prophetic scriptures. Hallelujah. Look at this other place, 1 Corinthians 1:21. 1 Corinthians 1:21. Bible says, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching. The NKJV says, through the message preached. Through the foolishness of the message preached. Because the preaching there is not the act of preaching, it is the message, the content. Hallelujah. It pleased God through what? Through the foolishness of preaching the message preached, the kerygma, the content, to save those who believe. Now, how did Paul present this preaching, this foolishness of preaching? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He used the word kerygma again at 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 4. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 2, 4. Now it says that my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. My speech and my preaching, my gospel, my message. Hallelujah. Now what is that message? Read down to verse 9. Let's read together. Verse 5. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. Yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, hallelujah. This gospel, this kerygma, is as it is what? Written. Hallelujah. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. So the gospel message finds its roots in the prophetic writings. It is not something that just came out of the blues. And you know, this is important because there is no religion on the face of the earth that is resting on the backdrop of prophecies. Not one. Hallelujah. Not one religion. Anybody can just rise up and come up and say he saw a vision from God. God has called him to lead people. But in the case of Jesus, he didn't just come out of oblivion. There are prophecies. Hallelujah. Things said about him. Things proclaimed years before Jesus was born. Before he came on the scene. And this is how the kerygma, the message of the gospel, is presented to us in the writings of the apostles. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. And verse 14, use the word kerygma again. 1 Corinthians 15, 14. Glory to God. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. The word preaching there is also kerygma. If Christ is not risen, then our message is void. Now, what is that preaching? Where did it come from? From verse 1 to 4. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 4. Can we all read together? Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Verse 3. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to, and that he was what? Buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. When Paul says according to the scriptures, you know, he was talking about the prophet. There were no epistles then. He was just writing this. Hallelujah. According to the scriptures. According to the prophets. Hallelujah. Look at this other place. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 17. This is an element of the gospel that makes it authentic. This is an element of the gospel that, you know, if we are to remove it, the gospel will be void of this divine inspiration. The reason why the gospel is called the gospel is because it was proclaimed before Christ. And Jesus now came as a fulfillment. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 17. Glory to God. 2 Timothy 4, 17. Look at this now. 2 Timothy 4, 17. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Hallelujah. And all the Gentiles might what? It says, God strengthened me that the message might be fully preached. Amen. That word message preached also is kerygma. Titus 1:3, which is the last one. Titus chapter 1 verse 3. Bible says, but as in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. In due time he has manifested his word through what? Through preaching. The word preaching there is also kerygma. It's the content. The message. Not the act of proclaiming. Now from verse 1, where is this preaching from? Paul, a bond servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness. Verse 2, let's read together. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Hallelujah. So you see that consistently, the gospel is presented as something that has its root in the prophetic scriptures. Glory to God. Now this word kerygma is from the root word keruzo. We've done that before. Keruzo, which is the verb. It means that one is the act of proclaiming. When we come to how to preach the gospel, we're going to get into that much more. So the act of proclaiming, but the message itself is the kerygma, the content, the details, and there is no message of the gospel without a reference to the fact that it is a fulfillment of the things God has spoken before. Hallelujah. That is, I'm saying to you, when you stand on the street to proclaim the gospel, you must let your audience realize that this message is a fulfillment. Glory to God. You know, when we're doing study on the resurrection, I showed us how that the gospel has eyewitness accounts, and I showed us the historicity of the gospel. I showed us how Jesus came on the scene, and then he fulfilled everything, and then he appeared to men. They saw these things. It's an historical event. That's so staggering. Hallelujah. I mean, that Jesus rose again from the dead. He didn't just disappear. He appeared to men. He showed them his hands. Touch my hand. Touch my, you know, put your hand there. You see that I was pierced. I'm alive. I'm not a ghost. You can hold me and touch me and feel my flesh. That's great. But how about discovering that before he ever came on the scene, there were things said about him? Hallelujah. I mean, anybody can just come on the scene and appear great. But there were things said about Jesus that are so precise. Amen. They are what? So precise. Announcements about his death. Announcement about his betrayal. Announcement about his death. Announcement about the actions of men at the foot of the cross. Very detailed. Some of them word for word. Praise God. Precise. His location. The things that happened surrounding his birth. See, listen, there is no religion in the world, you can go find out. There is not one religion in the world that is resting on the backdrop of prophecies. Not one. Hallelujah. No, many times people feel that the miracles we talk about and the signs and wonders are the major proofs and the major witness to the gospel. But I'm saying to you, the integrity of God's word itself, hallelujah, the fact that what he said did not fall to the ground is a major and a fundamental witness to the gospel. That I can look at what Jesus did and say, see, this is a fulfillment of the things that God said. That is why the Bible says all scriptures are given by the inspiration of God. The scriptures are God breath. They are inspired. Hallelujah. That element of inspiration is what makes the gospel authentic. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you following? So, you see, the kerygma is proclaimed as the fulfillment of prophecies. Prophecies dating way back to 700, 1,500 years ago before Jesus was born. Hallelujah. It's so staggering. You know, sometimes I've read some skeptics and I've read their accounts fighting against the account of the gospel. And people say, well, the prophecies, Jesus was not really fulfilling prophecy. They were just arranging it and making it look like he was fulfilling prophecy. Someone said on the cross, for instance, he had read the Psalms now. He knew. So he just got on the cross and began to say, my God, my God. You think he had time for acting? Praise God. If they are nailing you, you remember some. I don't think so. You can, let's try it now. Just lay you on it and begin to, you will not even remember your name. Not to talk of Bible verse. So, but let's even agree with the skeptics that Jesus could have acted along. Let's look at other places now. Praise God. Let's forget the fact that, okay, my God, Otikasam, praise God. What about other prophecies that he had no control over? Hallelujah. Prophecies that he had what? No control over. Let's go back to Romans 16 in verse 26. Romans 16:26. Prophetic scriptures. The word prophetic there is the Greek word propheticos. Propheticos. This particular word appears only two times in the entire Bible. Just two times. The entire Bible, New Testament especially. Romans 16:26 and 2 Peter 1:19. Propheticos. This is not about the prophets. It's about their utterances. Hallelujah. It's about their utterances. By the prophetic scriptures, speaks of the utterances, because the word propheticos means foretelling or a foreteller. But it is more about the utterances. Glory to God. That is why at 2 Peter 1:19, it says, holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. That's the word translated prophecy. As 2 Peter. Hallelujah. Staggering. In fact, in the Old Testament, one of the things God said to the children of Israel is that they should bring their soothsayers and let's compare. Hallelujah. Who can tell the future? Do you know how the prophets prophesied about the future? They prophesied about the future like historians writing about the past. Hallelujah. Do you know the way an historian, we look back and we write about our past? That's how they spoke about the future. With such precision. Hallelujah. Precision. Back in the Old Testament, many of the prophets never met. And they all kept saying the same things, adding layer upon layer. One spoke about his birth, another spoke about his resurrection, another spoke about his ascension, and they were saying many things. And many of them never met. They lived in different places at different times. Glory to God. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at this now. Verse 19. And so we have a more sure word of prophecy. That word prophecy is the word propheticos. So, a more sure word of prophecy. You see that Peter says, we have a more sure word of prophecy, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in the dark place. That is, the major witness to the gospel is not even experiences. Hallelujah. Oh, a man got healed in the service today. Wow, there is God though. Praise God. Before that, just go and read the scriptures. That's a more sure word of prophecy. Because Peter just gave us a narration or an account of his experience with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, where they saw Jesus transfigured before them. And they saw Moses and Elijah. Peter is now saying, guys, we have a more sure word of prophecy, which is what you are meant to pay attention to. And as you pay attention to it, the day will dawn in your heart. Hallelujah. He's talking about Jesus. Until the day star rises in your heart. You are going to see Christ in the prophets. Hallelujah. And then, so, it's particularly about how that Jesus is a fulfillment of the things that were foretold. Glory to God. Jesus is what? A fulfillment of the things that were foretold. 1 Corinthians 1 again, verse 21. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21. And then we'll now walk through the book of Acts to see how they presented the gospel. 1 Corinthians 1, 21. Glory to God. Bible says, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Now, if you go to verse 19, earlier, you see that Paul already made mention of something that was written. Hallelujah. From verse 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. He's talking about the gospel. It is the gospel that destroys the wisdom of the wise and brings to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Hallelujah. And it is by this gospel, Paul says, through the foolishness of preaching, God saves those who believe. So the kerygma is always rooted in fulfillment of prophecy. It's about things that have been written ahead of time. Glory to God. Now let's get into the book of Acts. And you see how that all through the sermons in the book of Acts, there is this element of prophecy. Men must be told that what we are preaching today is not fiction, didn't come out of the blues. It didn't start with Jesus of Nazareth. It started way back. Hallelujah. Things were said about him with such precision that you can't deny it. Many of those who fight the fulfillment of Bible prophecy today, if they have just 10 prophecies about them, they won't say it's a coincidence. Hallelujah. I mean, somebody predicts your birthplace. See, the predictions are staggering. Glory to God. And, you know, when we get to study the inspiration of scriptures, we're going to see some other prophecies in the Old Testament even mentioning the name of somebody before he was born, 500 years before he was born. Hallelujah. In the scriptures. Because, see, if God is God, then he can talk about the future like we talk about the past. He knows all things. That's what is called foreknowledge. So, that element of foreknowledge is seen in prophecy. And that is what lends credence to the inspiration of scriptures. Without it, then whatever we are believing may just not be true. Hallelujah. The prophecies. Acts of Apostles chapter 2. Let's look at all the sermons in the book of Acts. And see how they were presented. I don't believe in the gospel because of signs and wonders. Signs and wonders are not exclusive to the Christian faith. Hallelujah. You don't need to see power, miracles before you believe. Just go and study the scriptures. This is why several skeptics who began to research the Bible to prove the veracity and the authenticity of the scriptures arrived at faith in Christ without any external evidence. I'm talking about professors of universities. They arrived at faith in the gospel just by researching the scriptures. Hallelujah. Look at Acts 17 for instance. Even the Bereans, what happened to them? They searched the scriptures to find out if the things said were so. That is, did Jesus tick all the boxes? Did he fulfill the prophecies? Acts 17. Hallelujah. Acts 17 and from verse 11. Bible says, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness, and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. And in their searching and their scrutinizing and their investigation, verse 12, therefore many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. Hallelujah. Professor by the name Simon Greenleaf. Many years back, would always come to class. He was a professor of law at Harvard University. He would always come to class and poke fun at his students who are Christians, make jest of them, and ridicule them for their faith. So one day, he took it upon himself to say, let me even go through scriptures myself and research. And, you know, with my knowledge of law, let me prove the things said in scriptures. He came out a believer. Hallelujah. The consistency, the accuracy, the precision of Bible prophecy is not found anywhere else. Glory to God. Islam is very shrewd and cunning. They said the another comforter is Muhammad. You know, that's not true. Amen. That's the only prophecy they are hanging on to. And it is by Jesus. How can Jesus prophesy about another religion? Glory to God. There is no element of prophecy. Something that baffled. That's why a lot of critics don't even engage Islam. Because to them it's like a joke. Amen. There is no element of divine inspiration. One man just came and said, I'm telling you the truth. You can go and find. You notice the Bible gets more bashing and more criticism and more investigation. Because see, there's a lot in the book that makes it too difficult to just discard. Hallelujah. But as for Islam, one man just came and said, an angel appeared to me and he began to talk to me. And every time they ask him a question, he doesn't have an answer. He says, I'm coming back. He now comes and he says, and God has said again. That's how they were writing the Quran. Praise God. God said. Angel was there. Who was there with him? Nobody. Hallelujah. When an angel gave the law to Moses, how many of them were there? All the children of Israel. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. So God never begins anything without giving witness. When Jesus rose again from the dead, how many witnesses? Over 500 brethren. It was not done in a corner. Hallelujah.
So the overwhelming evidence of Bible prophecy is what makes the gospel authentic. Amen. That Jesus came as the fulfillment of the exact things God said he was going to do. Acts of Apostles 2, 14 to 36. Let's see how this gospel is preached and proclaimed. Acts 2, 14 to 36. Don't forget, I've made a point. So as we go through the scriptures, that's what we're looking for. Is the gospel presented as a fulfillment every time? Or is it just one of those things they just talk about and they don't really consider it to be very important? Or is it an integral part of presenting the gospel? We'll find out. Acts 2, 14 to 36. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and eat my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose. Since it is only the third hour of the day, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." Has he referenced the prophet? Spoken by the prophet Joel. So he has quoted Joel. "And it shall come to pass in the last day, says the Lord, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Hallelujah. Now look at verse 22. "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, the man attested to you." The word attested means to be pointed out or signified. "Attested to you by signs and wonders and miracles which God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves also know, him being determined by the determined purpose, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. Whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that it should be held by it." Verse 25. "For David says concerning him," he's quoting who again? David. "David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for it is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. For you have made known to me the ways of life. You make me full of joy in your presence." Now, before a man begins to imagine, is this really about the Christ? Is this really about, or was David talking about himself? Because he was saying, "You will not allow your Holy One. You have made me. Is this David or Christ? Then Peter now explains. Verse 29. "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day." In other words, David has seen corruption. Hallelujah. Corruption not in my country, it happened to David. Praise God. He has seen corruption. He died and he's been buried. So it couldn't have been about himself. Hallelujah. It couldn't have been about himself. He is dead, he's buried, we have his tomb to this day. So he begins to explain to them that though David is talking in personal terms, it is not about David. Hallelujah. He now says, "Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn to him with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he will raise up the Christ to sit on the throne, he foreseeing this spoke concerning what? The resurrection of the Christ." Concerning what? The resurrection of the Christ. Because it's Jesus that did not see corruption. He died and he was raised again on the third day. Hallelujah. So David spoke about his resurrection. John spoke about the outcome of his ascension, the outpouring of the Spirit. Jesus, having ascended, poured out the promise of the Father. John spoke about it. David spoke about it. Whatever you are seeing happening today is not something that is just happening out of the blues. It was spoken, it was written. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now look at verse 32. "This Jesus God has raised up, of which we all are witnesses.
Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. Verse 34, for David did not ascend into heaven, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. He's quoting who again? David. See that the gospel is presented as a fulfillment of the things that were said. Hallelujah. The things that were what? Said. Verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Acts of Apostles chapter 3 and from verse 12. So the gospel has its roots in the prophets. This is why it is authentic. This is why it is of divine inspiration. Hallelujah. God spoke about it several years before it came to pass. Acts of Apostles 3 and from verse 12. So when Peter saw, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God of our fathers glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of all, in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go, but you denied the Holy One and the just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead. Hallelujah. You killed the Prince of Life. It's a play on words. Hallelujah. That is, you killed him who cannot die, whom God raised from what? From the dead. He says, and his name, true faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. But now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. Verse 18, let's read together. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus, those things which God foretold by the mouth of how many of his prophets? All. Hallelujah. You see again, he's presenting it as a fulfillment. Hallelujah. The fulfillment of the things spoken. Verse 19. Repent therefore and be converted, and that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom everyone must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of how many? Of all his prophets since the world began. So he has mentioned all the prophets, how that they foretold these things. They spoke about it. It's not something coming out of the blues. It's not strange. If you were a good student of the prophet, you will have known that there was a particular person that was being spoken about all through generations and all through the ages. Hallelujah. And then he gets to verse 22. He quotes Moses. For Moses truly said to your fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. So he mentions Moses again. Hallelujah. That Moses spoke about a certain prophet. Now listen. A prophet like me is not a prophet like every prophet. Hallelujah. Because the prophet like Moses must institute another covenant. Moses is the mediator of the old covenant. So a prophet like Jesus cannot be Isaiah. Sorry, a prophet like Moses cannot be Isaiah, cannot be David, cannot be Ezekiel or Jeremiah. A prophet like Moses must be a mediator of a new covenant. This is why the contrast in the Bible mostly is not between David and Christ. It's between Moses and Christ. John 1:17, for the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The law is continuously associated with Moses, while grace is consistently associated with the person of Christ. So a prophet like me, according to the words of Moses, is a prophet that will be a mediator of another covenant. Glory to God. He now says, anyone that does not listen to this prophet will be destroyed. That's like, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, whoever does not believe in him will perish, and would have, whoever believes in him rather, would have everlasting, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So, you see, the destruction is not that they will pick the person and stone the person to death. It's that the person will not see eternal life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 24. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. He mentions all the prophets again, right? As many as have spoken. Glory to God. You know, that is very important, because it is not all the prophets. It is as many as have what? Prophets who had utterances. You can't say Elijah spoke about Jesus. We'll be looking for it. Praise God. Or Elisha. They were, when he put the axe into the river, that's Christ lifting up. Praise God. We don't need that. Hallelujah. Like a pastor said, when was it Elisha or Elijah now? Elijah. Elisha, when he put salt to cleanse the water and to make it sweet, that's the new creation. Glory to God. New creation. Abba made. Praise God. So, we don't, it says as many as have what? Spoken. Utterances. Prophets that had utterances. Glory to God. Samuel. It says Samuel spoke about Jesus. Glory to God. All of them. So you see that the gospel has its roots in the prophetic scriptures. It is not out of the blues. Glory to God. It's a fulfillment of that which was announced before time began. Glory to God. In fact, look at how Paul, Peter says it there, verse 25. You are sons of the prophet and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You know, he's quoting another prophecy. The promise made to Abraham at Genesis 12 and Genesis 15. In you the nations of the earth will be blessed. And then it goes to verse 26. To you first, God having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. That is, this forgiveness of sins which we are preaching is the result of Jesus fulfilling prophecies. Hallelujah. Look at this also. Acts of Apostles chapter 7. This is Stephen's address. Acts of Apostles chapter 7. Prophecies are an integral part of the gospel. The gospel is what it is today because it's a fulfillment. Amen. What is the gospel? A fulfillment. It is both a promise, but now in the New Testament, it is the fulfillment. Hallelujah. While it was given to them in the Old Testament, it stood as a promise. But now in the New Covenant, it's a fulfillment. And whenever we declare this gospel in the New Testament, we must show men that it's a fulfillment. And we must point men to the accuracy and the precision of prophecy. Glory to God. You can't argue against fulfillment. Praise God. Do you know, a sign of true prophets in the Old Testament was any prophet that spoke and it came to pass. A false prophet was the one that spoke and, you know, it did not come to pass. Today, we have predictions and people predict this accurately. They predict football matches and all that. That's not prophecy in the New Testament. Praise God. See, our prophet is always helping us win Baba Jebu. Praise God. Anytime I want to go and pick a number at Naira Bet, I just go to church first. I know my pastor will say something about it. Praise God. The pastor is a soothsayer. So that's not prophecy in the New Covenant. That was not even prophecy in the Old Testament. Praise God. The spirit of prophecy, the testimony of Jesus rather, is the spirit of prophecy. Prophecy is centered around Christ. That's why we are talking about the things they spoke about Jesus. Glory to God. So prophecy today, a lot of people prophesy about things. They talk about, you know, kings taking over, somebody that will win the next election. And I used to say this, that the Nigerian politics is too volatile. Amen. For the spirit of certain prophets. Because you might have seen that a particular person got there. And the night before the announcement, they changed the whole thing. They rigged it. Praise God. So your prophecy will fall to the ground. Amen. So don't dabble in that area at all. It's too volatile.
More volatile than forex. Hallelujah. So, prophets prophesy many things today. And even in the Old Testament, there were soothsayers. There were people who could say things and it would come to pass. But you see, when it comes to God's plan, when it comes to the things concerning Jesus, nobody could have predicted it. Do you know why? It was hidden as a mystery. It was in God. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 3. Nobody could have gotten it right. It couldn't have been by the spirit of any other person. Not through Satan or demonic spirits. Because Satan himself was in the dark. So the prophecies are only by the spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 3. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3. Look at verse 9. It was hidden in God, and it wasn't made manifest without the Spirit of God moving the prophets to say the things they were saying. Ephesians 3, 9. I'll start from verse 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. The mystery that was what? That has been what? Hidden in God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But we speak wisdom among them that are mature. Not the wisdom of this world which is coming to nothing, but the wisdom of God spoken in the mystery. Hallelujah. Which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So the things said concerning Jesus could only have come by the Spirit of God, because nobody knew about it. When he says ruler of this age, he's not just talking about men. Hallelujah. Demons, principalities, powers, none of them knew. If Satan knew, he says they would not have moved to crucify him. Glory to God. You know, because he didn't know that was his end. Hallelujah. He didn't know. He was plotting his own failure. He was plotting his own end. He didn't know. Leading men, crucifying, he was happy. Glory to God. And as they were crucifying him, they were all rejoicing. Satan, they were all glad. Praise God. And as they finished crucifying him, they just saw him. Glory to God. You know, you are plotting your... Bible says he was crucified in weakness. So as he was dying, they were rejoicing, they were glad. Imagine the kind of joy that would have been happening in the kingdom of darkness. This guy has oppressed us. Once upon a time, demons saw Jesus coming and they ran to him. They fell on their knees. Said, do not oppress us before our time. Don't torment us before our time. So they were dreading him. You know, the night of his arrest, they came with a detachment of troops because they knew that the person they were coming to arrest was so great. You know that when they arrested Jesus and they eventually crucified him and killed him, one of the things the chief priests and the elders said amongst themselves was, let's go and seal the tomb very well. Because the last deception will be worse than the first. What did they consider to be the first deception? It was not that great. Praise God. Like, this man will say, I'm the resurrection and the life. Praise God. Which resurrection and life? Whoever eats of this bread will not die. He has died. So, you know, they considered all those things to be deception. He said, let's go and seal the tomb well, so that the last deception will not be greater than the first. And what will be the last deception? That they will say that this, you know, they stole his body and they will say he has risen again. Glory to God. So they didn't know it was going to be that cheap to arrest him. Jesus laid down his life. They crucified him. The Bible says, had they known, hallelujah, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. It was a trap. Hallelujah. He just got in. Praise God. He got into their den. Hallelujah. And you know, the spirit is not like the flesh. He died in weakness. He was raised in glory. Hallelujah. So, the thing said concerning Jesus couldn't have come by any other spirit. Because it was known to God alone. It's in that context Paul says, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Bible says, but God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. Yes, the Spirit searches the deep things of God. He now says, what man knows the things of a man except the Spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So nobody could have prophesied the things concerning Jesus that accurately apart from God. Hallelujah. So the gospel is presented as a fulfillment of the things God said. Exactly the way God said they were going to happen. Glory to God. And don't forget, these things were said over 700, 1,000, 1,500 years before Jesus was born. Moses died at the, counting from the death of Moses, it's like 1,582 years before Jesus was born. Now, Moses had written many things before his death. So, we're talking about 1,500 plus years. Things were said with such precision and accuracy, and Jesus came and ticked all the boxes. Hallelujah. You can't look at that and say, God is not in it. That's an element of divine inspiration that cannot be doubted. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Acts of Apostles chapter 7. Are you following? Acts 7. Glory to God. Look at Stephen's address. I'll just speak a few things there. How that Stephen mentioned, because Stephen narrated the whole thing. He narrated from when Abraham was called and called to go out of his father's land to when they were enslaved in Egypt and all. He went through history. So, but while going through this historical account, at verse 37, look at what he said. He also mentions Moses. This is that Moses who said to the children of Israel, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren, him you shall hear." Hallelujah. Look at verse 52. Verse 52. "Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one." Do you see that? They foretold the coming of the just one. It makes his audience realize that the prophet spoke about these days. Glory to God. Acts of Apostles chapter 10. 36 to 44. Peter's sermon in the house of Cornelius. Hallelujah. "I am not a believer because I see signs and wonders. I'm a believer because of the integrity of God's word." Amen. I believe because of the integrity of God's word. That God is not a man that he should lie. What he said he would do has been done. Hallelujah. "The exact things that were spoken came to pass as precisely as they were said." Amen. Acts of Apostles chapter 10. Peter's sermon in the house of Cornelius from verse 36 to 44. Bible says, "The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus. That word you know is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it was he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and of the dead." Verse 43, let's read together. "To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive all the prophets." Everywhere there's a reference to the prophets, the reference to prophecy, reference to things that were said. This remission of things that we are preaching, all the prophets witness to it. Hallelujah. You will find it in Jeremiah. You'll find it in Ezekiel. You'll find it in Micah. You'll find it in Isaiah. You'll find it everywhere in the prophets. Zechariah spoke about it. Malachi spoke about it. You will find it deeply rooted in the message of the prophets. Hallelujah. It's a fulfillment. Glory to God. Look at Acts 13. 17 to 41. Acts of Apostles 13. 17 to 41. Glory to God. Acts 13, 17 to 41. Now read. Bible says, "The God," this is Paul. So we've gone past Peter's sermons, Stephen's sermon. This is Paul preaching.
And then he says, the God of this people Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with an uplifted arm, he brought them out of it. This is where they got Olowo, praise God. An uplifted what? Another version says, an outstretched arm. Hallelujah. Olowo, but it's turning things around. Praise God. I remember that year. Glory to God. A lot of people came for their head. Hallelujah. I'm not part of them. Praise God. God is in the Bible. Uplifted arm. Praise God. Outstretched arm. Amen. It's just that we don't call God that name. Amen. But it was an action. Praise God. So I don't give you corn now. You say corn bearer. From that day, you begin to call me corn bearer. Amen. Or corn buyer. I will just desist from relating with you. Praise God. So let's move past that. Hallelujah. So he says, with an uplifted arm, he brought them out. Now for a time of about 40 years, he put up with their ways in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land to them by allotment. After that, he gave them judges for about 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward, they asked for a king. So God gave them Saul the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom he also gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. Verse 23, from this man's seed, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a savior, Jesus. According to what? According to what? So he speaks of the promise. Glory to God. And then he gets to verse 24. After John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John was finishing his course, he said, who do you think I am? I am not he, but behold, there comes one after me, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to loose. When he says, who do you think I am? I am not he. That means they were expecting a particular person. The whole of Israel, everybody knew in Israel that there was a Messiah to come. So John is saying, I am not he. Who do you think I am? I'm not that person. Hallelujah. Now, look at verse 26. Men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been sent. For those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, have fulfilled them in condemning him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says the voices of the prophets spoke all the things they fulfilled. The reason why they fulfilled all those things is because they did not realize and recognize and discern the voices of the prophets. They didn't understand what the prophets were saying. Praise God. As they were at the foot of the cross rejoicing, if they had read Psalm 22, they would have, come. They would have realized that they were actually fulfilling prophecy. Glory to God. Verse 28. And though they found no cause for death in him, they asked Pilate that he should be put to death. Now when they had fulfilled all that was what? All that was what? Written concerning him. They took him down from the tree and laid him in the tomb. But God raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. God raised him from what? The dead. Verse 31. He was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. Verse 32. Let's read together. And we declare to you glad tidings, that promise which was made to the fathers. God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the second Psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Hallelujah. So he's quoting scriptures again, right? He's quoting David. When he says, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Has it ever occurred to you before that Jesus is called the only begotten son of God? Before the cross, John says, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The beholding his glory was in the past, before the cross. So, was Jesus the son of God in the Gospels? Huh? Huh? Was Jesus the son of God in the Gospels? So when he says today I have begotten, because he's quoting this as the resurrection. You are my son, today I have begotten you. This is the resurrection. So was Jesus begotten in the resurrection? Don't be afraid now. Is it in the scriptures? Was he begotten in the resurrection? Was it God's begotten son in the incarnation too?
So why is it that it's sounding as though it was in the resurrection Jesus was born? Amen. You know, he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteous. So he came out from sin, Abby. Praise God. You know, we could postulate many things. But then, as it occurred to you, Romans chapter 1 says, Jesus was born according to the seed of David and was declared to be the Son of God by the Spirit of Holiness through the resurrection from the dead. That is, it was the resurrection that showed, hallelujah, that he is the Son of God. Amen. He did not become God's Son in the resurrection, but the resurrection was proof. Praise God. Also, in his incarnation, we could still refer to Mary as his mother, because Jesus had a body that was conceived through a woman. But in the resurrection, he has dropped all that. Amen. And then he rose again with a different, he ascended with a different body. Philippians chapter 3 tells us how that our bodies will also be conformed to his own glorious body. So in the resurrection, Mary has no part. Amen. In the incarnation, it was God walking through the vessel called Mary, through a virgin. In the resurrection, there's no part with Mary. Jesus was raised from the dead with a brand new body in his ascension. So he says, today I have begotten you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. More importantly, the resurrection was a proof, was a visible demonstration of the fact that he is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Now back to Acts of Apostles 13, verse 34. And that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he has spoken thus, I will give you the sure message of what? Is he quoting scriptures again? Who is he quoting here? Isaiah. Hallelujah. I'll give you the sure message of David. Some years back, I heard a preacher who seemed to be a pro-New Testament or New Covenant realities man. And back in effect, he said, we don't preach tithe because of curses and divorce. If you don't pay tithe, you are not cursed. Jesus has redeemed them from it. You know, it was making sense. So I'm like, wow, great. And then he said, you know, but there's a blessing for tithers. Hallelujah. If there's no blessing for some, what is there for them? The only opposite is curses. There are no neutral grounds. Hallelujah. So he said, but there's a blessing attached to tithing. I was shocked when he said, the sure message of David. Hallelujah. He says, I'll give you the sure message. Let's see. Isaiah 55. This sure message of David is what we already have. The man has taken it back to tithe. Isaiah 55. And you know, I was very shocked. People, preach it. Hallelujah. On by Jello, so preach it. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. From verse 1. Oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters and you will have no money. Come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Hallelujah. This is believing in all he has done, in his provision. It's a figurative expression. Come and buy without money. Praise God. Come to the waters. He says in verse 2, why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The sure message of David. Hallelujah. What is the sure message of David? Our salvation in Christ. Praise God. So it is not for Titus. Back to Acts of Apostles chapter 13. So Paul quotes Isaiah 55 verse 3 while making a presentation of the gospel. The message of the gospel is presented always as a fulfillment of the things that were foretold. Acts 13:35. Therefore he also says in another psalm, you will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. Hallelujah. Verse 36, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and saw corruption. You know, Paul is more blunt. Praise God. David said, we have his tomb to us, with us till this day. Paul said, he saw corruption. Praise God. So, it's the same thing. The same way Peter presented it in Acts 2 is the way Paul is also presenting this. That the gospel is a fulfillment of the things that were said. Hallelujah. He saw corruption. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Verse 40. Beware, therefore, lest what has been spoken in the prophets come upon you. They even prophesied about the reactions and the response of the people to that message. Not only are we talking about what Jesus has done, we also know how some people will react. And the prophet spoke about it. Praise God. The prophet spoke about it. Verse 41. Behold, you despisers, marvel and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you by no means believe, though one were to declare it to you. Do you know there are some category of people who by no means believed till they died? The prophet also spoke about it. Hallelujah. Acts of Apostles 26, verse 1 to 7. Acts 26, verse 1 to 7. Glory to God. Acts of Apostles 26, 1 to 7. This is Paul. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You are permitted to speak for yourself." So Paul stretched out his hand and answered for himself, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because today I shall answer for myself before you concerning all the things of which I am accused by the Jews, especially because you are expert in all customs and questions which have to do with the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was spent from the beginning among my own nation at Jerusalem, all the Jews know. They knew me from the first if they were willing to testify that according to the strictest set of our religion, I lived a Pharisee." That is, I was a popular jingo. Praise God. Everybody knew me. I was against the Christian faith. I fought it. I wrestled against the idea. Hallelujah. I fought it. I wrestled against the idea. And then it gets to verse 6. "And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers." Has he mentioned promise again? "I'm being judged for the hope of what? The promise." This is not something that just started. It is for the hope of the promise made to our fathers. Hallelujah. Verse 7. "To this promise our 12 tribes, earnestly serving God night and day, hope to attain. For this hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused by the Jews. Why should it be thought incredible by you that God raises the dead?" Hallelujah. Look at verse 22 and 23. Verse 22 and 23. Glory to God. Of the same chapter. Verse 22, 23. "Therefore, having obtained help from God to this day, I stand, witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said will come, that the Christ will suffer, and that he will be the first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles." He says, "I'm saying no other things other than what the prophets and Moses said will come." He has made reference again to the prophetic scriptures. Hallelujah. Because the gospel is the fulfillment of the things that have been spoken. Glory to God. So, like I said to you, many times we feel that unless people see signs and wonders, they won't believe. No, no, no. It's not by signs and wonders first. It's by being a student of the scriptures. The way to get men to believe in the gospel is by showing them that the gospel is the fulfillment of things spoken. Hallelujah. And then that's why the gospel takes time. The preaching and the teaching of the gospel will take time. You want to lead a man to Christ, you don't just do it sharply and say after me, "Praise God." Have you believed? I believe. Have you believed? Haven't you believed? I believe. Shebi, you have believed? I believe. Praise God. You are a believer. You are a believer. That's how we have a lot of false conversions in the body of Christ. Look at the Bereans. They said the scriptures daily. Do you know that for some people to believe the gospel, it may take them 6 months? Do you know that for some, it may just be 2 weeks? Do you know why? It depends on the strong goals in the heart of the man. A man who is a serious skeptic, it may take 1 year. Praise God. Only a miracle will make him believe on time. Glory to God. That is, you must have an encounter like Paul. Then you say, "My Lord, what should I do?" So unless there's such a radical and spectacular thing, if it's by study and by listening, it may take months. Glory to God. It may take 2 weeks. It may take 3 months. That's why I'm not a fan of this evangelism that just wants to get people saved on spot. We have produced a lot of false conversions. Let me say this to you. Many of the people that received the gospel immediately in the book of Acts, if you look at them very well, they had other experiences they've had before that time. Hallelujah. Cornelius, what happened? An angel of God said, you must receive everything that he will tell you. So when Peter came in, if Peter had told him God is a spoon, he would believe him. If Peter had told him Jesus did not die, he would believe. Because he had a supernatural appearance. An angel of the Lord had given him an instruction to listen to everything Peter was going to say. What about the eunuch that Philip reached out to? I was going in a chariot. Do you know the man was already reading the prophet and getting puzzled. Puzzled about, who is this about? Is it about himself? Or that means he had an affinity for God's word. So Philip got there and did a good job by just walking him through the scriptures. That was his beginning at that scripture. He preached Jesus to him. Hallelujah. The jailer. What do you think happened to him? He saw a miracle. The ground shook. Hallelujah. And then the prison doors were opened. And then he already knew that these guys were arrested because of the gospel. He heard them sing psalms. So he knew that they were believers. What then shall I do to be saved? That was the next question. Hallelujah. Look at all those people. On the day of Pentecost, what do you think happened? People just received the gospel because they were hearing it for the first time? I don't think so. You know, Peter spoke to them as men that knew all these things. In fact, at Acts chapter 3, he says that you might receive Jesus who was preached to you before. They had heard about him. They had been taught. They rejected him. They crucified him. And then Peter is standing in their midst saying, this Jesus, God has raised from the dead. Hallelujah. So you see, let me say this to you. Don't be in a rush. It could happen to the man a day or two. There's no formula. What I'm saying is, it depends on the stronghold in the heart of the man. There will not be salvation until the stronghold gives way. Glory to God. Until the stronghold in his heart gives way, there won't be salvation. Understanding must come. Ask yourself, the disciples of Jesus, how long did it take them? Those ones, 3 and a half. Hallelujah. 3 and a half. You see, that's why those ones cannot be rushing people. Praise God. They will take their time to explain. Jesus rose again from the dead. He looked at them. Fools and slow of heart to believe. You know, there was a time Jesus explained parables to them, and then he taught from giving them that clue to a parable, they will understand many things. He will be saying something as simple as nothing that enters into the stomach makes the man defiled. They said, so explain to us this parable. Said, Does that even sound like a parable? Jesus said, are you without understanding? Those guys were dull of hearing. It took them a while. Imagine if Jesus had said, just say after me, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. That's how, after his death and resurrection, Jesus, Peter would just go and be fishing. Praise God. The conviction came as a result of teaching, extensive teaching, showing them things from the scriptures. Hallelujah. Taking his time to explain. Let me say this to you. When a man believes, you don't need to ask him, have you believed? Have you not believed? If he believes, you will know. Hallelujah. Do you know that in the case of the eunuch, it was not even Philip that wanted to do anything. Philip was just done preaching and he was going. The man said, praise God. Let me be baptized. Philip now said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. He said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Hallelujha. A lot of false conversions. I was once a Christian. Go and look at all of them very well. They just responded to one altar call. Before the count of 10. Hallelujah. I will not shout. I will not scream. 10, 9. The person rushes up. And then people go to different altars. You come to this altar now, Pastor IBK. It's not great. You may not trust your salvation. But kilometer 42. Ha. Hey. That Praise God. You go surrender your life. I've even discovered that some people go out just to meet the man. They want to have a closer encounter. Abba. Praise God. He's not seeing Jesus. Amen. Then, after responding to such utter questions, begin to pray that God will accept you today. God will accept me today. They begin to pray. Everybody stretch your hand to them that God will write their names in the book of life. And that one too will now leave the altar and say, I'm now born again. You are born against. Praise God. You cannot be born again. Being born again is a result of teaching. Extensive teaching. How shall they believe without a preacher? Hallelujah. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? How shall they believe if they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the glad tidings. They must be preaching. And I'm saying to you, sometimes to convert a soul, the preaching can go on for months and years. Didn't you see it? Bible says Paul went to the synagogue and reasoned with them for 3 months. Few of them believed. As a result of that, he withdrew with them into the school of Tyrannus, and for 2 years he kept teaching. Bible says the whole of Asia heard the word of God. 2 years they kept teaching. Hallelujah. Because what we are showing them is so technical. I want to show you what Moses said. I want to show you what Isaiah said about this man. I want to show you what Ezekiel said. I want to prove to you from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So it takes time. You know, God is not counting your sins against you. Do you believe it? I believe. Glory, you are saved. Now let me quickly get you healed. The man begin koto 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 laba 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 laba. Praise God. Say, he's now healed. Praise God. Guy gets home, say, but don't disturb me. A woman said that to me in this church. Said she went for a meeting and they didn't let her go. When they were disturbed, she just told them something. Humans are that shrewd and cunning. You don't force it. Glory to God. When a man believes, you will know. It will be based on his own confession. Hallelujah. I believe. And I always say this. A proof of believing most times is that you will see an eagerness in the man to know more. He wants to follow. He wants to know more. Glory to God. And that's because conviction has been born in his heart. He wants to follow. He wants to continue. You see, that earliest stage of believing is not the time we should be looking for you around. You are missing in meetings. It's too early. Praise God. It should be later. Maybe the affairs of this. But at that moment of receiving Christ, you just met the gospel. It will show. Hallelujah. You will want to be in every meeting. You will want to learn more. Because there will be an hunger. Glory to God. Everywhere people believed in the gospel in the book of Acts, you see that they wanted to follow and there was joy. Glory to God. Not that you get home and after believing the gospel, you just get home and sleep and you forget whatever happened to you. Sleep, eat, drink. Next day you continued your life like nothing happened. Can you marry and not know? I'm asking you a question. Can you get married and not know? How many of you remember the day you believe the gospel? Let me see your hand. Because if you don't remember, it's risky. Hallelujah. It is fresh in my mind. Glory to God. It is not, I did not accidentally believe. I knew what I was believing. It came as a result of a report. Glory to God. That eunuch, do you think he would just forget? He had an encounter. He heard a man. Glory to God. In fact, you should remember the day you received the gospel. You should also remember the preacher. Hallelujah. You may not know his name again, but there was a meeting. Because preaching the gospel requires us proving from the scriptures things concerning Jesus. So it's not done in a rush. Hallelujah. Acts of Apostles, we've gone through all these places and we see that consistently in the book of Acts, the kerygma is presented as a fulfillment of the things spoken ahead of time. Amen. That's why when Jesus rose again from the dead, look at the rebuke he gave to his disciples. When he rose again from the dead. Luke 24 and verse 25. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When you have a disciple who they ask him and they say, when did you believe the gospel? Is that one meeting like that? Okay, what did you believe? I only can believe. Praise God. You know that you are in trouble. I will only keep. He's the one that says you believe. What? He does not have any conviction yet. Hallelujah. That's why what you are meant to do at that point in time is to keep teaching. See, the day conviction is born, you will know. You will know. He says, until the day dawns in your heart and the day star rises. So, there will be a difference. Hallelujah. Men whose mouths are always short don't have convictions. When a man has been convinced about it, he will talk about it. He will talk about it. You will share your experience. You will talk to people about it. Glory to God. Luke 24, verse 25. Hallelujah! Luke 24, 25. Then he said to them, all foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. You see, he was referring them to the prophets. Why are you slow to believe in all that have been spoken? The things I have done, the things that have happened before your eyes, were spoken ahead of time. You should have known this. Hallelujah. You should have known this. So you see, the gospel stands on prophecies. Things spoken ahead of time. And I'm saying to you that this is a fundamental witness to the authenticity of the gospel. This element of divine inspiration. Hallelujah. Look at this now. Isaiah chapter 55. Many have used this scripture to say something else. But the context is really about the gospel, the fulfillment of the word of salvation. Isaiah 55. And I'll read from verse 1 to 13. We read 1 to 3 the other time. So let me just start from verse 4. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now this scripture is linked or is in the context of the things he said from verse 1 to 3. The wicked forsaking his ways, seeking the Lord while he may be found, is about coming to buy without money. Coming to the waters. Hallelujah. It's about faith in the gospel. So, it's about faith in the gospel because the gospel is what he has announced before that time. So, it gets to verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor am your ways my ways, as you know, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That is, you are not thinking what I'm thinking. Praise God. If you come, you'll be forgiven. I won't deal with you according to your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Hallelujah. If the wicked will forsake his way and come and embrace the gospel by faith, I will pardon. Praise God. He now says in verse 10, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, is giving them an assurance of what he's going to do. And do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. That is what I just told you. The promise and the guarantee I just gave you will not return to me void. Hallelujah. If a man forsakes his way and embraces the gospel by faith, if a man comes to the water to drink, it will happen. Praise God. It will receive. So, God was prophesying about the work of redemption. And it's in that context he says, my word will not return void. That is, this promise will not be void. It will be accomplished. It will be fulfilled. And you see, that is a fundamental witness to the gospel. The gospel is authentic because what God said he will do, he has done. Hallelujah. What God said he will do, he has done. Hallelujah. Look at Isaiah 40 also. Isaiah 40 and verse 8. Isaiah 40 verse 8. I repeat, there is no religion in the world today that is standing against or on the backdrop of fulfilled prophecies. Christianity stands out among them all because there were precise and exact prophecies spoken ahead of time before Jesus came on the scene. Hallelujah. Isaiah 40 and verse 8. Look at this. Isaiah 40 verse 8. Bible says, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. The integrity of God's word again. The flower will fade, everything will go, but the word of God stands forever. You know this word is the gospel. Because Peter quotes it at 1 Peter 1:25. The flower fades and all that, all flesh is as grass. He says, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. So the integrity of God's word is a fundamental witness that what God has promised, he has fulfilled. That is how to preach the gospel. What God has promised, he has fulfilled. The gospel of Christ's death and resurrection is a fulfillment of the things God promised. Hallelujah. The gospel has historical events, accurate facts, prophecies, things said thousands of years before its fulfillment. Hallelujah. And this is why we are believers. Glory to God. We believe in the integrity of God's word. We believe in the promises of God. We believe in the fulfillment of those promises. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. People used to say, when I see miracles, I will now believe. No, you are meant to, based on the integrity of God's word, which has been shown in the fulfillment of Christ's death and resurrection, that is how you are meant to believe God for other things. That is, you are not meant to believe after seeing. You are meant to look at scriptures and see how God was faithful. And God has been faithful to his promises. And be aware, if God has been this faithful, then I can trust him for other things. The reason why I'm trusting God for healing is not, I want to be healed, so I will now believe. I'm trusting God for healing because I know God is faithful. If he says healing is available, I must be able to trust him because I have seen him demonstrate faithfulness in the fulfillment of the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Romans 15:4, it says, for whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, so that we, through the patience and the comfort of scriptures, might have hope. We look at scriptures and, you know, we just, there's hope. Hallelujah. Scriptures. The fulfillment, God's dealings with men. Look at this now. Those are footprints. You see God's footprints in the prophecies. Matthew 5:18, the integrity of God's word. Hallelujah. The integrity of God's word. This is exactly how the kerygma was presented. God's word has integrity. What Christ has done is what God said he would do. And he fulfilled it with such precision. Matthew 5 and verse 18. Glory to God. Look at what Jesus said. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law, till all is fulfilled. Have you seen that? In fact, said differently. Look at another place. Said differently. Luke 16:17. Hallelujah. Luke 16:17. Said differently. Luke 16:17. He said, and it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fail. It is easier. That is, it is easier. Do you know it's a very hard and difficult thing for heaven and earth to just pass away now, as we are in it now. You just see that, he said the earth is already rolling, you know. It's like it's going now. Everything just pass away. He says, you know, that's so staggering. But he says it is easier for the earth to just pass away like that than for one title in the law to fail. The integrity of God's word. Hallelujah. Look at this. John chapter 5. So Jesus was pointing them to scriptures. He rebuked the Pharisees about the same. John 5, 39 to 40. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they which testify of me, but you are unwilling to come to me that you may have life. He says to them, the scriptures testify of me. Jesus did not come to Jerusalem. Listen, he didn't come to Jerusalem to just be making claims and be saying, why can't you believe me? Anybody can rise up and make claims. But his claims were based on the things that were said before his appearance. So he wanted them to believe based on the writings of the scriptures. In the same John chapter 5, he says to them, he says, if you have believed Moses, you will have believed me, for he wrote about me. Hallelujah. This is how the kerygma, the gospel message, is to be presented. That things were written, things were said, and Jesus came as the fulfillment of those things. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at this now. Romans chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. Some of you only write Bible verses. You know, you should be able to read your sermon notes when you get home. You get home and you read your sermon, and it's like you're reading a book. Praise God. That's how to write. Romans chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. Romans 1, 1 to 4. Paul, a bond servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The gospel which he what? Promised before through his prophets. That is, this gospel we are preaching is not out of the blues. It is through the scriptures of the holy prophets we are proclaiming the things we are saying. This gospel has its roots in the prophetic scriptures. Hallelujah. And it is concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. First Peter chapter 1. Hallelujah. Now start from verse 3. You have not taught the gospel to a man if you don't show him this aspect of the gospel. You must let him realize it is not on the same pedestal, it is not on the same level with any religion in the world. There were things that were said before this man Jesus came on the scene. And when he came on the scene, he fulfilled them in toto. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. So he's talking about salvation. He now gets to verse 10 and says, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched diligently or carefully, who prophesied of the grace that will come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ was in them, was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us they were ministering the things which have now been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Have you seen that element of prophecy again? It's always there. Hallelujah. It's always there. That what we are declaring to you is not, you know, it was a, grace is an end time message. They've not read this portion. It says the prophets prophesied of the grace that will come to you. It's not end time. Praise God. The prophets, as far back as 2,000 years plus, the prophet spoke about this grace. Hallelujah. It's not new. Christianity is resting on the backdrop of precise and accurate prophets. And we're going to walk through some of them very soon. So let's see some places. Let's see some prophecies concerning Jesus.
take away prophecy from the gospel, it ceases to be the gospel of Christ. It ceases. Hallelujah. It ceases. They can corrupt many things. Archaeological facts can be corrupted. Critics and, you know, skeptics and, you know, mischievous men all over the world can come around and say, we found a body. Look at his hand. He was pierced as though he was the only one they crucified. Praise God. Didn't they crucify two thieves too? Praise God. Somebody, there was a particular, somebody said, go and see this link, sir. You will see. The, Jesus did not rise again. So when they saw a body of a crucified hand with nails. Praise God. What was wrong with this one? They also crucified two thieves. Not just that. It was a custom in Rome to be crucifying people. Do you know how many people they crucified? You now went to look for one skeleton. Say, that's Jesus. Praise God. And we will believe you. So, they can corrupt facts in the world. People can distort archaeology. Do you know that some of the pro-atheists or anti-theists people, those guys have a sworn allegiance to fight against everything that has to be with God, even when they have an evidence that there's God. They will fight it. It's a sworn allegiance. Do you know the Pharisees did not... Do you know the Pharisees knew that Jesus rose again from the dead? Do you know they knew? And the elders and the chief, they knew. So they gave them money to say it did not... Those ones are sworn critics. So, they can corrupt facts and archaeology and all that and distort history. History cannot even be really distorted, but you can corrupt archaeological facts and all that. But, let's go to Bible prophecy. Hallelujah. What has been written? You know, another way to read the phrase, it is written, in the real rendition, is it stands written. That is, you cannot edit it. Hallelujah. What has been written and it stands so. Praise God. You can't do anything about it. So, take away prophecy from the Bible, you have no gospel. The precision of Bible prophecy is that the authors and the writers of scriptures and the prophets prophesied about the future like historians writing about the past. Praise God. Let's see some accounts. Matthew chapter 2. Hallelujah. Won't you consider me to be a great prophet? You know, there was a time, I think it was the last election in U.S. when Donald Trump and Hillary were the major rivals or competitors. And I just slept. I had a dream that Donald Trump won. So, I told my brother, I said, I had a dream that Donald Trump won. It didn't seem like it stood a chance because of Hillary. And I had a dream that Donald Trump won. And I was not obsessed following politics. I just saw the dream. And I said, I told a few people, if I had put it on Facebook, the day they announced it, like, you see, people, a prophet has risen and missed. It's just a dream. Praise God. And I saw it accurately. And you can see things accurately. You've seen things like that. You've had, was it not Judith? One day she said she was going to computer village and somebody had taken her phone. She didn't know. And it just came to her strong by speaking, look at your side. Somebody has taken your phone. So you just look and saw the phone with the person trying to hide the phone. They, bring my phone. Praise God. You know, you can have such precision. But it's a different thing entirely now when you now read in scriptures that people were, you know, she had this leading her spirit. Somebody was beside her taking her phone. This one, the person you did not know, praise God. Like somebody that will be born in the next 300 years. You now talk about him. Amen. You now give prophecies. You now give accurate descriptions. Where he will be born. Hallelujah. Ha. If they consider you to be a prophet for prophesying things that are in the near future, what do you think they will consider you to be? If you... That's why it can only be by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. God. God. Matthew chapter 2. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word. Matthew chapter 2. From verse 1 to 6. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him. These were stargazers. Hallelujah. It's not Christian practice. It's not Christian doctrine. They were wise men in those days practicing astrology. If you don't do that today, but should be the Bible
acknowledge people practicing astrology. Why can't I also practice astrology? No. You are forbidden to practice astrology because you have the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So, but they, by practicing astrology, they knew where he was to be born. Or they saw his star, they knew he had been born. Praise God. But then, when they were to find out where he was born, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, verse 3, and all Jerusalem with him, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Verse 5, let's read together. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So they located his birthplace. From where? The prophet. And they went to Bethlehem and they found him. Hallelujah. The wise men said, we saw his star. They said, oh, where did the prophet say he will be born? Bethlehem. Oh yeah, go to Bethlehem. And they got to Bethlehem and they saw the child. Hallelujah. Precise. Glory to God. Now, if Jesus was acting out every other prophecy, this one, he had no control over it. He was a baby. He was born. Just his parents. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And they found it as it was written. You see that Herod knew what he was doing. Why would you read in the prophet that he will be a ruler of the people who will shepherd my people? That's God speaking. And you still wanted to kill him. Sworn critics, they exist. Look at this other place. And you know that prophecy. That was Micah 5:2. You find it in Micah chapter 5 verse 2. It was prophesied by prophet Micah 700 years before Jesus was born. He spoke about it 700 years before Christ was born. What about the virgin birth? Matthew 1:23. Behold, the prophet saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Isaiah also spoke this 700 years before Christ was born. Isaiah 7:14. The Lord himself shall give you a sign, and a virgin shall conceive. Hallelujah. 700 years before Jesus was born, and Jesus was born of a virgin as it was said. Glory to God. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. They even knew about his forerunner, John the Baptist, from the prophet. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, for this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah. Hallelujah. Who spoke about it? Prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Guess what? John the Baptist was in the wilderness. Exactly what he said. And was shouting that men should make straight the way of the Lord. And was preaching in the wilderness. Exactly as the prophet said it. Another prophet prophesied it. Malachi. Hallelujah. Malachi chapter 3 verse 1. The space between Malachi and Matthew is not as slim as what you find in your Bible. You just open the next page, life continues. 500 years. Praise God. 500 years. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the message of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. Spoke about how John the Baptist was going to herald the coming, and Jesus will suddenly come into the temple. Glory to God. Let's look at this again. Matthew 27 verse 13 to 14. His attitude before Pilate. Matthew 27, 13 to 14. Matthew 27, 13 to 14. Hallelujah. Then Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many things they testify against you? But he answered him not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. So they were questioning him, accusing him, and he said nothing. That was a fulfillment of Isaiah 53 verse 7. As a sheep before its slaughter. Hallelujah. Isaiah 53 verse 7. Let's see it quickly. Isaiah 53 verse 7. Glory to God. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He spoke about it. You know, Isaiah 53 is about the suffering Messiah. Everything in Isaiah 53 is about the sufferings of the Messiah. Glory to God. The sufferings of the Messiah. And then Jesus fulfilled it exactly as they were questioning him, asking, he said nothing. And Isaiah spoke about it. Glory be to God. His cry on the cross. Matthew 27, verse 46. His cry on the cross. Matthew 27, 46. Matthew 27 and verse 46. Jesus' cry on the cross. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Psalm 22. There's one. Hallelujah. Exact thing. Psalm 22 verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Like I said to you, some skeptics have said Jesus was only playing or acting to a script. He was just saying it because he had read something and all that. What about the soldiers? Did they also read Psalms? Praise God. The soldiers. The actions of the soldiers were also prophesied. Matthew 27. 42 to 43. Matthew 27, 42 to 43. He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the king of Israel, let him come down now from the cross and we will believe. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now. And if you will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. This is the action of those who were passing by. They were mocking him. And the psalmist spoke about this. Psalm 22 verse 8. Hallelujah. Psalm 22 and verse 8. Glory to God. Glory to God. Psalm 22 and verse 8. Psalm 22 verse 8. So the psalmist spoke about the actions or the reactions or the responses of those who were also passing by. And he got it right. Hundreds of years